special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I'm still your host, Chris Switzer. It is Saturday, the 6th of August on the Gregorian calendar. And as per usual, I will read from the devotional book I like to read from and get a little prayer in here and inspiration from our Heavenly Father, Yahweh Elohim, or God. Even though you inhabit a world full of trouble, I assure you that I am completely 100% good. I am light. And in me, there is no darkness at all. Turn to me in tough times, and you will find me faithful. And the first scripture we're going to look at is 1 John 1:5, which says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and are reporting unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." We're going to look at Psalms 56:3. "What day I am afraid, I unto thee will direct my confidence. So have no fear, rest confidently in God, Yahweh, our Savior, our King, our Creator." And then Nahum, Chapter 1, verse 7, "Good is Yahweh as a protection in the day of distress, and one who acknowledge them who seek refuge in him." Matthew 28:19-20 reads, "Go ye therefore and disciple all the nations, immersing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I myself have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the days." Until the conclusion of the age. "Hide yourself in me wherever you feel the darkness encroaching," finishes the devotion. So, we must rest in God. Rest in God. Last week and the week prior, I was reading from the book written by William Guy Carr, Pawns in the Game, published in 1958. And we are finishing up a chapter concluding the events of the Russian Revolution, where it was explaining the beginning of the Zionist movement for a home state, if you will, for the Jews, the Edomites, in Israel. But they falsely call it Israel, implying, insinuating, that they are the Israelites of the Bible, Jacob's descendants, but they are not. And even if you look at their own contemporary Jewish sources, such as the Jewish Encyclopedia, for one, you will find that they say they come from Esau, Edom, commonly called Edomites. And if you also know this, you will read in God's word that Yahweh despises Esau and the Edomites and the Canaanites and the Amalekites, Girgashites, Jebusites. They are always at odds with God's people, Israel. So before I jump back into the book, I just wanted to cover one thing from the news here. Over in this place that they call Israel, that the Zionist Jews have taken for themselves with the help of the global elite through their international banking systems, they are bombing the ever-living crap out of Gaza, a people who barely have clean water, potable water to drink. And they are up against one of the most sophisticated military and intelligence apparatuses on the planet. Israel bombs residential buildings in Gaza in second day of airstrikes. Preliminary reports estimate as many as 15 have been killed, including a 5-year-old girl, and another 125 Palestinians injured. Israel has reported no deaths, but 2 injured soldiers, and they put it in quotations, lightly injured by debris. In a preemptive attack, that means unprovoked, Israel demolished a residential building in Gaza with a deadly air raid on Friday, saying it had intelligence of a possible attack by pro-liberation forces. Warned us. They warned us with rockets, and we fled without taking anything, Huda Shamalak, who lived in the building, told Al Jazeera. The Israeli military said its attacks targeted weapons storage facilities located in the residences of terrorist operatives in the Islamic Jihad terrorist organization in the Gaza Strip, the New York Times reported. So there is just a little headline with what's going on in this holy place, which, again, the land itself is not to be blamed, right? For the land itself does have significance to God, God's people, and God's word. But they have taken this land and inhabited it for themselves, okay? And this is what they do with it. Israel, Gaza, how much money does Israel get from the United States, guys? Why are we supporting this madness? This is from BBC.com, a news report from May 24th of last year. Pretty recent. In 2020, the United States gave $3.8 billion in aid to Israel, part of a long-term yearly commitment made under the Obama administration. Almost all of this aid was for military assistance. This support came as part of an agreement signed by former President Barack Obama, Barry Satoru, in 2016 for an overall package of $38 billion in military aid over the decade from 17 to 2028. So we are literally funding this Edomite ethnostate, this terrorist organized crime haven called Israel to the hilt with money that I'm sure most of you could use. I know I could. You know, Americans born in America with allegiances to Americans. And I'm not talking about a flag or a color. I'm talking about the people, the blood, the nation. This is real. This is what's going on. And these are the people behind it. So that's some current news and what's going on in the world while we bicker about politics and monkeypox. And we can barely feed ourselves or fill our tanks at the pump because our country has been usurped by Zionist criminals. Criminals. So back to the reading we go from William Guy Carr's book, Pawns in the Game, published in 1958. We're on page 76 at the bottom of the PDF if you're following along. After Tsar Alexander III had issued his verdict, blaming avaricious Jews as the cause of the empire's unrest and economic ruin, the leaders of the revolutionaries organized the Social Revolutionary Party. An utterly ruthless man named Gershuni was appointed organizer of the terrorist groups. A tailor named Yevno Azev was appointed to organize the fighting sections. The leaders of the Social Revolutionary Party also emphasized the importance of enlisting Gentiles in the movement. Gentiles who passed the tests to which they are submitted became full members. And if you're just tuning in or you haven't heard my show, before now, Gentile is a non-Jew. That's what they consider it. And I'm not going to go further with it for now for these purposes. That's what they call it. It was this decision that brought Alexander Ulanov into the party. Before the revolutionary leaders would admit him into full membership, he was ordered to take part in the plot to assassinate Tsar Alexander III. The attempt on the Tsar's life had failed. Alexander Ulanov was arrested. He was tried and condemned to death. His execution caused his younger brother, Vladimir, to dedicate himself to the revolutionary cause. Vladimir rose in power until he became leader of the Bolshevik Party. He assumed the name of Lenin. Lenin. He ultimately became the first dictator of the USSRs, or the Soviet Russia. Became between, 1900 and 1906, in addition to causing serious labor trouble and creating terrible misunderstanding between all levels of Russian society, the Revolutionary Party rubbed the sore of religious bigotry until it developed into a festering boil. This boil was brought to a head by the hot applications of wholesale murders and assassinations. The boil burst in the form of the Revolution of 1905. The officials assassinated by the Social Revolutionaries terrorist section were Bogolyubov, Minister of Education in 1901. This assassination was perpetrated to register Jewish resentment against the educational clause in the previously referred to May laws that we read about last week. This clause limited the number of Jews attending state-supported schools and universities to a number in ratio to the Jewish population as compared to the whole Russian population. This measure was passed because the state-financed schools had become flooded with Jewish students. A group of young Jews who had suffered when boys because of the educational clause in the May laws of 1882 were given the task of murdering the Minister of Education, Bogolyubov. They had to prove their courage and ability to qualify them for duty with the terrorist section of the Social Revolutionary Party. Next year, 1902, Sigyagin, Minister of the Interior, was assassinated to emphasize Jewish resentment against the May Law, which had reversed the policy of Alexander II and prohibited Jews from living outside the Pale of Settlement. Jews who had been evicted from their homes in Greater Russia as children under the May Law were chosen to carry out this execution. They made no mistake. In 1903, Bogdanovich, governor of Ufa, was assassinated. In 1904, the Russian premier, was killed. In 1905, the first full-scale Russian Revolution broke out. The Grand Duke Sergius, uncle of the Tsar, was assassinated on February 17th. In December 1905, General Dubrosov suppressed the revolutionaries, but in 1906, he was assassinated by the terrorist section. After the Tsar had blamed the Jews for the unsatisfactory state of affairs in Russia, Baron Ginzburg was instructed to work to bring about the destruction of the Russian Empire. It was agreed that to start the Russo-Japanese War, the Rothschild interest in Europe would pretend to be friendly with Russia. They would finance the war on Russia's behalf, while secretly the Rothschilds' partners, Kuhn Loeb and Company of New York, would finance the Japanese government. And as always, folks, you've heard it said by me many times, they fund both sides of every war that they foment. They leave nothing to chance. The defeat of Russia was to be made certain by the Rothschilds withdrawing financial aid when it was most needed. Chaos and confusion was to be created within the Russian armed forces in the Far East by sabotaging the lines of transport and communication crossing Siberia. This caused both the Russian army and navy to run short of supplies and reinforcements. Then again, a Russian naval officer bound from the Baltic to Port Arthur in the Far East ordered his ships to fire on a British trawler fleet fishing on the Dogger Bank in the North Sea. No logical reason was ever forthcoming to explain this wanton act of cruelty and mass murder against a supposedly friendly power. Public reaction in England was such that war was narrowly averted. Because of this incident, many British naval officers and British merchant officers volunteered their services to Japan. False flag attacks are the name of the game in war and politics by the international Zionists. In fact, they themselves boast that they are the fathers of modern terrorism. That's how they created their terrorist state called Israel and Palestine. The Japanese government was financed by international loans raised by Jacob Schiff of New York. Schiff was senior partner in Kuhn Loeb and Company. He cooperated with Sir Ernest Cassels of England and the Warburgs in Hamburg. Jacob Schiff justified his action of financing the Japanese in the war against Russia in a letter he wrote to Count Witt, the Tsar's emissary, who attended the peace negotiations held at Portsmouth, United States, in 1905. Quote, "Can it be expected that the influence of the American Jew upon public opinion will be exerted to the advantage of the country which systematically degraded his brethren and race? If the government, now being formed, should not succeed in assuring safety and equal opportunity throughout the empire to the Jewish population, then indeed the time will have come for the Jews in Russia to quit their inhospitable fatherland. While the problem with which the civilized world will then be faced will be enormous, it will be solved, and you, who are not only a far-seeing statesman, but also a great economist, know best that the fate of Russia and its doom will then be sealed." Don't go anywhere. Be right back, folks.
All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back. You're still listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I'm still your host, Chris Switzer. And if you haven't seen my work online and you're looking for more, please visit my work at bitchute.com, spelled bitchute.com/ The Freedom Ministry. bitchute.com/ The Freedom Ministry. And you will see a large body of video content. And you will definitely understand who is behind the misery of this world. And they are the literal, material, fleshly agents of the synagogue of Satan, as outlined in the Holy Bible, and as Jesus warned us of in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, where he calls them fake Jews, imposters, liars, cheats, deceivers of their father the devil, the synagogue of Satan. And I am here to expose them and warn you as well, my brethren. There's also a little-known book where you can actually read about how actual Zionist Jews firebombed and murdered their own people to create the State of Israel. And it's written by an Iraqi Jew named Naeem Gelati, or Gelati, however it's pronounced, and it's titled Ben-Gurion Scandals, How the Haganah and the Mossad Eliminated Jews. And it was published 2004. It was banned in both the United States and Israel, and the ban has since been lifted. And I have an internet copy from 2004. But it's just jaw-dropping if you don't already know this stuff or have an idea. Or if you hold on to the official narrative of this wonderful Judeo-Christian America helping out their fellow, you know, brethren in Israel, Christian Zionism, which is just ridiculous. It's utter hypocrisy, bigotry. It's just wrong. It is so wrong. Because if you know the Jewish religion, you know that at its core, they literally hate you. Hate you. They are decreed to cheat, lie, steal, and murder you. It says that your Savior, if you're anything like me and you believe on Yahweh and Jesus Christ, that Jesus is boiling for eternity in excrement. That's what they say of Jesus in their holy book, the Talmud. They are not our ally, but our biggest enemy. And this is who we fund to the tune of $3.8 billion a year in 2020 in aid to Israel. I'm going to get right back into the reading here of Pawns in the Game, written by William Guy Carr. And this is when they took over Russia. The hypocrisy of Jacob Schiff can be better appreciated when it is explained that from 1897 he had financed a terrorist in Russia. In 1904 he helped finance the revolution which broke out in Russia in 1905. He also helped to organize on an international basis the financing of the Russian Revolution, which broke out early in 1917. That's the Bolshevik Revolution, and gave him and his associates their first opportunity to put their totalitarian theories into effect. The Russo-Japanese War was fomented by the international bankers in order to create the conditions necessary for the success of a revolutionary effort to overthrow the power of the czars in Russia. The plans of the international bankers were upset when the Jewish-led Mensheviks started a revolution independently in Russia in 1905. When the international bankers withheld financial support, the revolution failed right at the moment it appeared to have reached the pinnacle of success. Because the Jewish-dominated Mensheviks acted on their own initiative, the international bankers decided that Lenin would conduct their revolutionary program in Russia from that date onwards. And Lenin was their boy. Lenin was born in the city of Simbirsk, located on the banks of the river Volga. He was the son of a government official who had the title of actual state counselor. This title was not inherited, but it had been awarded to his father for outstanding service as a school supervisor. Lenin received a university education and was admitted to the practice of law, but he never set himself up in business. Jewish students had persuaded him that it was time to overthrow the power of the privileged classes and time that the masses ruled their own countries. It was while Lenin was toying with the idea that, quote, necessary reforms could only be brought about speedily by revolutionary action, end quote, that his brother was arrested by the police and executed. Lenin was quickly recognized as an intellectual. He was associating with the leaders of the Revolutionary Party when in his early 20s. It had been previously stated that the wealthy, direct, influential international moneylenders had helped finance and direct the revolutionary activities within the Pale of Settlement. Lenin wanted to find out all he could about the people who directed the various national revolutionary groups, which were united in the common cause of popular revolution. In 1895, at the age of 25, He went to Switzerland, remember, neutral territory for the international bankers, and joined Plekhanov, who had fled there from Russia to escape the fate of Lenin's older brother, Alexander. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
May gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back, to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I'm still your host, Chris Switzer. Please call in if you have any questions or anything you'd like to add to the show. It's your show as much as it is mine. You can do so by calling RBN at 512-248-8252 or toll-free 1-800-313-9443. Again, that's toll-free, 1-800-313-9443. And you can also donate by phone. Make it easy. 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. If you have it and you're able to, let's keep the message of hope alive. Let's keep America alive. And you just tuned in, I'm reading from the book, Pawns in the Game, by William Guy Carr, published in 1958, and we are getting all the details for this purposely stoked Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, to topple the czars in Russia. While in Switzerland, Lenin and Plekhanov, who were Gentiles, and I don't know about Lenin being a Gentile, joined forces with Vera Zasulich, Leo Deutsch, P. Axelrod, and Julius Sederbaum, all who were Jews. They formed a Marxist movement on a worldwide scale, which they named the Group for the Emancipation of Labor. Cederbaum was a young man like Lenin. He had earned a reputation in the Pale of Settlement as a ruthless terrorist and accomplished agitator. He changed his name to Martov. He became leader of the Mensheviks. Lenin ruled the Bolsheviks in Russia. The abortive revolutionary attempt by the Mensheviks in 1905 convinced Lenin that the only way to have a successful revolution was to organize an international planning committee, which would first plan and then direct any agreed-upon revolutionary effort. Lenin brought into being the Comintern as the Central International Revolutionary Planning Committee. The international bankers picked him as their top-level agent in Russia. Lenin had made a serious study of the Great French Revolution, which they've already detailed in this very book. When he learned that the secret power which had brought about the French Revolution was still in active operation, he threw in his lot with them. He was already being controlled by them, whether he knew it or not. His plan was to let the members of the Comintern think that they were the brains, but to influence their thinking so that they furthered the long-range plans of the international bankers. If the day came when the revolutionary... If the day came when the revolutionary leaders couldn't be controlled, then they could always be liquidated. How nice. Can just be liquidated, neutralized, erased. Evidence will be given to show how this actually happened. Having decided his own policy, Lenin returned to Russia with Martov to organize his money-raising campaign, which consisted of blackmail, bank robbery, extortion, and other kinds of illegal practices. Lenin argued that it was only logical to take money from the people whose government they plotted to overthrow. He made it a principle of his party that all young people who aspired to membership should, like his older brother Alexander, be tested for physical courage and mental alertness. Lenin insisted that part of every young revolutionary's training should include robbing a bank, blowing up a police station, and liquidating a traitor or spy. Lenin also insisted that the revolutionary leaders in all other countries should organize an underground system. In discussing this matter and writing about it, Lenin declared everything legal and illegal which furthers the revolutionary movement is justified. He warned, however, that the legal party should always be in control of the illegal, end quote. And this practice is enforced today, particularly in Canada and the United States. And with this, we will take our first caller in Kentucky on line one, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, it's Michael in Kentucky over here in the flood zone, in the well, we're not actually in a flood zone, but the targeted town of Kim Davis, as I like to call it, on the edge of the coal hole economy and the rewilding zone, where they'd like to depopulate everybody. So you're talking about some stuff that goes back to whoever you think was behind it, a lot of financiers, the Bolshevik Revolution, and just reading various translations of the Communist Manifesto, you become shocked when you first run across that. I did probably 30 years ago, and wonder how long has this been going on. And, you know, if you keep on studying, you find out that there's a habit of government of when they classify stuff, it has to be reviewed after about 25 years. And then it can be further extended. So generally, I don't think we find out about anything on that scale until at least 25 years after they're doing it. So with the people in a lot of sectors of the economy are already about being taxed as much as they can be taxed. So what does that lead? Where does the government that has leaned itself up to the eyeballs gather up any more revenue? What does that leave it desperate to do? I ran across, and I'm leading up to something here real quick. I ran across a retired intelligence operative who was making a veterans retreat nearby, and it was on a piece of property that I thought had some potential, and he sure enough got, didn't get, apparently, because I talked to him, I asked him, I said, how did you cut so many of these trees? You've made this place look great. It's got a wonderful view. You know, it's meant for veterans to come and decompress and take in the view of our trees and hills. It's a neat idea. I said, did you have to get a master logger to cut all these trees? And he goes, what do you mean? I was like, well, you've obviously cut, you know, you've cut like 25 trees here that are probably marketable size, and I think you're only allowed to cut about five without a master logger or using mules and an old-style, you know, log snake, snaking logs or whatever they used to call it when they did it before all the modern equipment. So that's grandfathered in, but anyway, he's like, well, I didn't do any of that. I'm not really buying it. And I said, well, the only reason I ask is because I've been studying this for quite a while. I was asked to do a documentary on it. And our federal government is kind of caught. It can't get any more money out of the IMF. And, of course, Christine Lagarde was the first one to take over the IMF back then. Many years ago, I think, that wasn't a U.S. Treasury official. And that caused a little bit of chatter for the planning of the IMF has kind of slipped loose from the American hands, a lot of people thought. But I don't know that it ever was. But 1987, during the Reagan administration, there was this report called the Brundtland, B-R-U-N-T-L-A-N-D, Brundtland Report. And I told him about it. And I said, when they were winding up their last report there under Reagan, they said that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and these international financiers were no longer going to float loans to first world countries unless they had collateral.
Oh, yeah.
To back it up. So given the 80 years of research and tax dollars and whatever into weather modification, you might see where I'm going here. If you follow the news out of Eastern Kentucky, you can find the maps of these vast continental scale rewilding zones, and communism can be made the boogeyman, you know, in a lot of ways. Or here comes the Chinese buying up our agricultural land. In 2019, when Trump started the trade war with China, a bunch of the farmers held on to their grain. And I heard various estimates, but something between China and the U.S., it looked like weather wars to me. There was at least 11.5 billion bushels of grain that was lost because it was inundated in these silos, and they call it adulterated. Mm-hmm. Once it gets wet, it's ruined.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know that, you know, they talked about Russia, Ukraine, and Brazil making up for the lost grain. Well, of course, now we've got the war in the breadbasket there in Russia. And, we had that bombing that occurred in, Lebanon? That looked for the world like some kind of tactical nuke or something hit that and just ruined all that grain. Remember
the
seeing
Beirut,
that?
Right?
Yeah, and Beirut bombing, whatever. And who was the genius that stored all that ammonium nitrate fertilizer? And apparently the claim is that they moved some of the confiscated weapons there on that dock that they'd taken from some of the Mujahideen fake al-Qaeda and put it there by the entire country's grain supply elevators. I mean, how much of a genius was that guy? You know, but, you know, either way, you can see the satellite photos. It shows all the grain just spilled out there. They may have been able to salvage some of that. But so you get the impression that there's a lot of attacks here, without even going into the stories, alleged stories of different food processing plants being attacked, blown up, or whatever in the last few months. We're facing what looks like depopulation of a wildlife corridor here from basically the spine of the Cumberland Plateau and Blue Ridge Mountains all the way up into western New York and Canada. And folks, just because it's kind of a slow process over the last 30 to 40 years, you know, they easily blamed Clinton for a lot of his presidential decision directives and American Heritage Rivers Initiative nominations and da-da-da, you know, rewilding expansions of monuments and all that sort of stuff. What is really going on, it looks to me, is that they are financing the spending spree by isolating these lands into limited use. And the commies can easily be, you know, blamed for this, I guess, in a lot of ways, which, you know, you just look at the 10 planks, how many of them are in place? In one degree to another, centralized control of education, centralized control of communications, FTC, Federal Trade Commission, you know, FCC, the U.S. Yep. Department of Agriculture, industrialization of agriculture. And did not one of the bigger communist leaders say something like that? They would use capitalism to conquer America?
I mean, of course.
Seems like I think I read that.
Oh, yeah.
So infiltrating the, what is that mechanism? And out of London, the Business District of London has a senior executive service. You got your Jeffrey Epstein type operations to compromise all those guys, just like, what was that movie, Eyes Wide Shut, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
And then right on down the line, I ran into a guy, ex-military, another different guy. By the way, that former retired intelligence officer, when I told him some of this, he goes, I'm not buying it. And I said, well, I'm not selling it. You just look it up, guy. I said, you just look it up. You read and weep. You know, I said, I appreciate what you've done with the property. You made it look better and improved everybody's property around here. And I see, as he's retired, I guess he's out in damaged by Desert Storm in the late 80s, early 90s, I think, before he gave up the military. He was a driver for the state police, who had at that time a habit of renting out an entire state park lodge in the late 80s, early 90s for a big soiree that they would have. They'd get all their guys to go to this, you know, state park lodge, and they, for a couple of weeks, they would raid all the bootleggers and drug dealers and evidence lockers, and they had all their party supplies that they needed. This guy's task at the last minute was to go down and drive and pick up a bunch of the girls, the strippers and stuff. And so I have no reason to believe this guy was lying about it, because I heard it independently from another direction, from a different guy in a different party. He was a Democratic Party intern in a nearby state, told a similar story. But you get the impression that the Jeffrey Epstein thing has been going on a long dang time. Oh, yeah. You know, that kind of operation to compromise and control and put strings on people.
Make
sure they don't go off the ranch. The same thing's going on in the medical schools. You know, so all of these compartmentalized intelligence operations that are overlapping and going on, they've got all these mechanisms of control. And now they've trickled it on down to you and me with this X key score, and they got everybody carrying around this tattletale device people call us, might as well call it a prison cell phone, because it's slurping all the data, and most people don't give a crap about it. You try to tell them about it, and they're like, as long as my phone gives me what I want, how I want it, when I want it, I don't care who's spying on me. That was the result of I came up with a hashtag called facilitating the inner five-year-old. when this kid told me that after I said, hey, that's a ZTE phone, isn't it? He goes, yeah, it works great. And I didn't think about insulting his phone. I was just trying to tell him what I'd read, that 950 million devices at the count at that time had been compromised with something called AdUps malware. I said, you ought to look it up and see if you can get it out of your phone. It may be in the firmware of the device, and you may not be able to get it out.
So,
and he was like, I don't care who's spying on me, as long as my phone gives me what I want, when I want, how I want it. I said, well, your passwords are being phoned home to China, your text messages, location data, all the device fingerprints and apps and everything in your phone is going home to servers in China. And he didn't want to hear it. Because he was all into his virtual reality toys and walking around bragging. He was talking about it to some girl at a laundromat. And that's how that inspired my hashtag. If anyone wants to try to look that up, I've got a few posts in that in that theme. It's hashtag facilitating the inner five-year-old, because it sounded just like a five-year-old that had been around. As long as my phone gives me what I want, when I want, how I want it, I don't care. You know, so it sounded just like, I want what I want, when I want, when I want it. And so, you know, there's a lot of people around here that it's really sobering to realize you're surrounded by people that don't care about their privacy or freedom or liberty, and all the people that have fought to get us any of that, any remnant that we have left.
You know? Yes, sir.
And they're manufacturing these markets. A lot of people that I've talked to in the industry, well, we're just supplying the market demand. Well, yeah, the market demand that you manufactured.
Yeah, sure.
And I was talking to, I talked to a guy with WhizBang New, a couple of people with their 5G phones, one in Chicago and one in Houston. Two different brands, a Samsung up in Chicago, which it leaked out was three times the licensed power. They got caught doing that, and they were overheating. Three times the emissions that were approved of back in the 90s by the FCC. They got in hot water over that because they dared to say that AT&T was doing deceptive marketing by flipping software switches and changing the display to 5GE. If you remember when that happened, you know, 4G phones that said 4G long-term evolution, magically overnight with a software update became 5GE, which they said, oh, that's 5G evolution. Didn't change much in the phone. They weren't true 5G phones, and Samsung raised to stink about it. Well, all of a sudden they get tattletailed on for having too much emissions out of their phone. Well, I was talking to a guy on his 5G phone, and it started breaking up, and I said, hey, man, your whiz-bang expensive phone is breaking up, and he immediately knew what the problem was. He was right next to an electric bus in traffic. He said, hang on a minute, I've got to go next to an electric bus. You know, and he finally got far enough away that his phone cleared back up. And I said, you were next to an electric bus and it interfered with your 5G phone with all that power in the phone? He goes, there's a EMF field coming off of those motors. And I said, dang, what about the people on the bus? And he didn't think about what I was saying. He just said, well, they put a Wi-Fi node there so people with Wi-Fi calling can use the Wi-Fi node on the bus. I said, no, that's not what I'm getting at.
Missing the boat.
Said, yeah, the dang phone. It's not the inconvenience of not being able to do a phone call. It's the electromagnetic fields you're being exposed to, and they're wanting to sell everybody on these electric cars. Go look on the National Institutes of Health and a thing called brittle diabetes. There's millions of people around the world that are susceptible to this, and they're like a frog or indicator species. Just walking on a treadmill will accelerate their brittle diabetes. So you get the impression after we're useful to society in this coming age of human resource management or whatever, healthcare, rationed healthcare, they're done with us after about the age of 55. They get squeeze out whatever production they can get out of us between the age of 16 to 55, and then who cares? If you die off, you know, like Logan's Run, your crystal turns white in your hand, well, it's time for you to be recycled back to Mother Earth, you know?
And, yeah.
So communism, using capitalism to conquer our free enterprise system, I think is well underway for many, many decades. A lot of the stuff that I've found out about in the last 15 or so years or so, I mean, I suspected. But it's like they're racing to shut us all up with their censorship and their shadow banning and their downranking. And any of the lawsuits that get filed over this sort of stuff with proof, they get pressured into settling with non-disclosure agreements or... they never really make it to a jury trial. I've read about a lot of those cases, you know, from Chicago to New York to wherever. And these people that are asking for more donations, like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, do they really ever make any significant progress, or is it mostly token? You know, it's like a steam valve. We're doing something. We're actually fighting your fight. Now send us some money so we can do more. And they don't really ever get anywhere.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, I've noticed that a bunch. Not just with them, but with a lot of things. Yes.
Uh-huh. I had William Benny blow me off on LinkedIn, and his lawyer did too, after I found out about his case he was bragging about when he was in Germany. And we're suing him again, he said. His lawyer told me to call back the next day. I don't know if he looked up anything about me, but almost immediately, who knows, he might have been a little tipsy. He said, I'm out with some friends. I was hoping to get his voicemail, and it was after hours in Nashville, and he was out with some friends eating dinner. And the next day, almost immediately, when I started telling him my story, and I said I could probably help out with your Pennsylvania case, he goes, I can't practice law in Kentucky. I'm like, well why didn't you, I'm thinking, why didn't you tell me that last night? Don't you need an affidavit in support, some evidence, a friend of the court brief? I can't help at all with this case. I can't practice law in Kentucky. I'm thinking, anybody can be admitted for one case in Kentucky. All I'm talking about is helping you out with your case. He just basically blew me off and hung up. And that's happened, I don't know how many times, when I finally get past the gatekeepers and find somebody that's involved in this fight, I get thrown to the side, kicked like a can down the road. And I'm like, I've got all kinds of evidence and victims and people that would probably come forward that I've talked to over the last 25 years and told them what they were doing, because their phone was spewing out into some network unencrypted their audio. And I think in a lot of cases it was being misrouted. But people have actually suffered damage, and that's what the last case that I heard about anyway got thrown out in the Western District of New York. The judge says, you've got to prove damage from the government's 702 section activity of the Patriot Act, and we're not going to recognize this evidence that you've entered because the government won't recognize it, but yet they're using that same evidence against Snowden in a district in North Carolina, I think. So it's a real, this Alex Jones case reeks of being what I've heard called a demoralization tactic. Have you heard of demoralization by the communists? It was a program for decades against America, trying to undermine confidence in our government and our system, which of course doesn't need much help at this point from the Soviets or the communists to do that. There's so much of it that's corrupted and compromised. Confidence in government is not hard to scuttle, I think. And what you're going back and talking about is the beginnings of the process, I think, right?
It's well on its way, but they were just kind of perfecting their techniques, if you will, and taking over large populations.
Of course, they made a great boogeyman for the guns side of the guns and butter argument there, if you ever had that given to you in like an entry level economics class. Had the missile gap or the bomb. Before that, it was the bomber gap. I mean, the Russians are going to get us. We've got to build more bombs. We've got to build more bombers. We've got to spend all this money on shiny stuff to blow each other up until we've got so much stuff stashed away now. If the true landlords decided to send us a Carrington event, the planet might be toast.
Mutual destruction.
Well, against the Soul Factory, the true landlord. Hey, you got a break. I'll let you go, I guess, unless you want.
Yeah. Later, brother. Have a great one, Mike.
You too.
Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's easeoff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.